But it's good to be here and to be able to share God's word. A lot of people didn't know that Deacon and I was coming. A lot of people, when yesterday they passed by the apartment or ran into them, they say, "Rich, you here?" I say, "Yeah." "You speaking?" "Uh-huh." And I believe they turned away. "Oh my goodness, not again." But hopefully some of y'all might get to change some of their minds. This morning, let's turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. Just want to start off our reading with one verse as we turn there. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. "Ye as lively or living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." We find one thing that stands out in this verse, what we want to touch on this morning. We are priests when we come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. It's something we don't take and look, dig too deep into. We don't study too much and learn too much about us as priests. When we're saved, we understand some of the roles that we have. Of course, first of all, we're sons or children of God, and we can understand being children of God, our Heavenly Father, who watches out over us, who takes care of us, who we can turn to at any time and bring our requests to Him. We know from reading God's Word that we automatically become soldiers once we're saved. And our job is to put on the armor and to fight against the devil, to fight against our adversary. We learn that we're servants. And as Jesus Christ went and He bent down and washed the feet of His disciples, we ought to be willing to be that type of servant for Him. To reach out and to serve others. To show God's love through us. And give Christian love to others. But a priest, what is our job as a priest? Our job is simply this. It says there, to offer sacrifices. That's all the priest, when you had to, that this, a simple job description, the priest of the Old Testament, what they did, they offered sacrifices. The people would come, they would bring their lambs, they would bring their bulls, they would bring the turtle doves, whatever it was. The priest's job was to take them and to offer the sacrifices to the Lord. And so our job is simply to take and to offer sacrifices to Him. Now, of course, we don't want to go out and y'all don't go run out and try find a goat or something else to offer for a sacrifice. But He gives us different sacrifices to offer. Jesus Christ was the high priest. The sacrifice He offered was His own body on the cross. He went and He gave it up for them to tear His back to pieces. He gave up His hands for them to place nails in. He gave His head for them to place a crown of thorns upon. He gave His face to be spat upon. He gave His side for a spear to go in, His feet for nails to go in, and His legs to hang there on the cross. He gave the greatest sacrifice as the high priest. And now we are to follow continually giving sacrifices. In God's Word, we find three sacrifices that we are to offer up to Him. And so this morning, as we talk about our job as a priest, is sacrificing, we can find out what we're going to sacrifice. First of all, let's turn to Romans 12. Very familiar verses, the first two verses there. But it lets us know what our first sacrifice should be. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, to help us remember what the three sacrifices are, this is what you're going to call a Dougal message. I call it that, remembering after our late brother Neil Dougal, I remember how he simplified messages, like if he had something in succession, to help us remember they'd all start with the same letter. Well, all three of our sacrifices are going to start with the letter P, so it helps us remember them. First of all, in Romans 12, here we find the sacrifice of our person we're to give to the Lord. He says there, present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. Present our bodies a living sacrifice. Sacrifice our person to the Lord. Who we are. Are we doing that? Day by day? Are we giving our whole selves to God? Or does He just have us on Sundays? Or maybe Tuesday or Thursday night? Maybe He only has us early mornings when we get up and do our devotions or late nights. Have we completely sacrificed our whole self to Him? Everything that we are, every minute of every day that we have, all that we do, all that we say, does it belong to Jesus Christ? Or are there parts of the day when we're serving someone else? When we're serving ourselves? When we're serving money? When we're serving pleasure? When we're serving having a good time? When we're serving our friends or serving our family? Or does Jesus Christ come first above all? When we think about sacrificing our body, think about parts of our body and how we could use those parts for Him. Think about our hands. What could we do with our hands for Jesus? God has a special plan for every one of us. And for each one of us is using something different for Him. And if you're not doing what He wants you to do, then your life is pointless. If I wasn't here on this pulpit today, my life would be pointless because I knew this is what Christ has called me to do. And don't think because you aren't called to some big job that your life is not any good. He calls some to small jobs and some to big jobs. But I promise you there's going to be just as big or bigger of a reward for you than any other preacher who gets on any pulpit. In fact, we're told in God's Word, if you give, and the word used there is prophet or preacher, if you give to them, you're going to get the same reward they're going to get. And so we stop and think about each part of our body, and what can I do for the Lord? We think about our hands. How could I use my hands? When we think of hands, we think of real, hard labor that has to be done. Someone has to upkeep this building itself. Can you use your hands for that? Someone has to cook the food when conference time comes. Can you use your hands for that? Someone has to be out there and play games with the young people and with the children. Can you use your hands for that? And how can we use our hands for God? He may have called you to use them a certain way that I don't know anything about. And no one else may ever know. To use your hands for Him. I think of the story of how, and I don't know if you ever heard the story, how the original picture of praying hands came to be. Two painters, first starting out, and they decided what they'd do was one of them would paint and one of them would work. Until the one who was painting got established, then the other one could quit its job and he could start painting. That way they would be supported and they could live together and share the rent. After quite a long time of work, this man got a job scrubbing kitchen floors, washing dishes, hard labor. The other painter started to make it big. And when he had started to make a little bit of money, he went to the other one and told him he could go ahead and start. And he said he couldn't. His hands had been worked so hard and messed up so bad, he could no longer paint. And that night, the man who worked bent down to pray. His friend drew the picture of the praying hands. Maybe your job is the painter, but maybe your job is that hard worker to keep that painter going. I think about our feet. How can we use our feet to go for the Lord? To go where He sends us. And it may not be your feet, but suppose a dear older sister or brother needs a ride to meeting on Sunday night. Are you the first there to offer your help to them? Or maybe as you see them walking out of the chapel, you know, do you have a ride home? Are we there to help them out? If someone else needs help in some other way, are we ready to go to them with our feet? Sacrifice in our body, of course we think of our lips. And there are many ways we can use our lips and our voice for Jesus. We can use our lips, first of all, to preach. Maybe from a pulpit God has called you to do. Maybe halfway around the world. Maybe to a Sunday school class. Maybe to a youth group. Maybe just as you run along someone down the road, someone who you know needs to hear about Jesus. Maybe you don't actually preach to them. Maybe just inviting them out to church. Maybe you see someone who's had a rough time lately. They need to be comforted. They need to be encouraged. Maybe someone who's sick, going there and spending a little bit of time just talking with them. Taking our lips and praying for someone. There's a brother down in Nassau, and I know every morning he's up 4 o'clock to pray. Prays for about 2 hours. And I know he could tell me every time my name's called off by him. And I know if I want something prayed for, to go to him. Are we that type of prayer warrior? Maybe God has called you to use your voice singing for him. Singing praises to him. But commit your whole body to him. The first sacrifice. And not only it says the body there, but it also says our mind needs to be given to God. Because what goes in our mind is what's going to come out through our body. Either come out through our mouth or come out through our lifestyle. What comes into our mind. But if we sacrifice our mind to Him, then He has control of our mind, then He will eventually have control over our bodies. And it says thereby the renewing of your mind. To a youth conference though, not long ago, we took up this verse. Not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're supposed to be different from everybody else. We're not supposed to fit in with the rest of the world. We're supposed to be absolutely opposite. We're supposed to be transformed, not conformed. It was made a joke, but it's actually so true. So many times Christians are deformed. They're not living up to the life of a Christian. But the way to be transformed is by the renewing of our minds. What does renewing of my mind mean? Well, let's say you wanted your house painted red. And you went out and you painted it. Well, within a little bit of time, it's gonna need some more paint. If I said renew the color of that house red, that would mean going and taking another can of paint and repainting it again. How often are we renewing our minds? The more we renew our minds, the better Christians we can be. If I went out every year and repainted that house red, it would be redder and redder. But if I waited 10 years before I added another cone of paint, it would be very dull and fading away. What about your sacrifice to God? Is it bright and shining where everyone notices? Or is it dull and slowly fading away? Are you renewing your mind? And I can't say it enough, the best way to renew is take and pick up His Word. Read it. We sing the song, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And then there's the second course, neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. And that's all what it boils down to. If we want our mind renewed, we have to give our mind to the Lord by reading His Word, by praying, and by just taking and meditating, thinking about what we've read. Not to just pick it up and read a couple of verses and that goes in one ear and out the other. It's better for us to take and read one verse and take more time meditating on it, thinking about it, than to read the whole Bible and forget what we've read. It's a lost art of meditation on God's Word. When we need our mind constantly renewed in the sacrifice of our person. Our second sacrifice, we turn to Hebrews chapter 13. In fact, we'll find both of our sacrifices in this chapter. But first in Hebrews 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. We have the sacrifice of person, now the sacrifice of praise. What is praise? A lot of people talk about praise in the Lord, but a lot of people don't understand what praise is. They think praise is coming in on Sunday morning. A lot of churches is coming in Sunday morning and picking up and singing some songs and standing up and clapping their hands and saying hallelujah. It could be a form of praise. But a lot of people that's doing that aren't praising the Lord the least bit. Praise boils down to thanks and worship. First of all, thanking him for what he's done for us. We could stay here all day going on with the list of thanks what we have to give to the Lord. Someone told me once, and I used the saying all the time, I asked them how they were doing. They said, I'm saved and going to heaven. I don't have anything else to worry about. And it didn't matter whatever else came into their life. They always had a reason to be thankful and to be happy. They were saved and going to heaven. And that alone right there ought to keep a smile on our faces. Ought to stop us from being them long-faced, sad Christians. Ought to give us a reason to be happy. And you can think of each individual point in your life where the Lord has blessed you. And you can thank him for that. When we bring a prayer to him, a request to him, maybe a close relative or friend that's been carried off, maybe to Florida or to Nassau, terribly sick, and we start praying for them. When we see them come back home, let's give thanks to the Lord for healing them. So many times we forget to do that. You know, Lord, pray for brother so-and-so. He had a heart attack and they had to carry him out. But the Lord never hears thanks for healing brother so-and-so and bringing him back home safely to us. We need to thank him, and then also praise includes worshiping him. The great God who he is. The Bible is full of worship to him. The psalmist and many others wrote down words describing how wonderful God is. And we stop and think of his all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere. He reigns supreme over the whole world. How he loved us. We ought to fall down and worship him. David and Solomon believed in praise. David made over 1,000 instruments. Solomon wrote over 1,000 songs of praise to the Lord. And so many times it's a vital part of our sacrifice that we leave out. We get too scared of going too emotional, too far the other way, seeing that so many others go too far. And yes, a lot of people do go too far. But we need to come to the point where it's true worship and where it's just emotions. But don't hold back your praise just because someone else goes too far. That's like ones who say, I'm not going to get saved because they're hypocrites in church. Well, that doesn't affect their salvation one bit. It doesn't apply to their soul one bit. And if we say, I'm not going to praise the Lord because others go too far, what others do doesn't apply to us. It doesn't matter to us. We should come and bring our praise to the Lord. And for every person, that involves a different way of praising him. My way of praising the Lord may be with a silent prayer in my seat. Your way of praising the Lord may be singing to him. Someone else's way of praising the Lord may be talking about him to others. We all need to bring sacrifice of our praise to Him. Verse 16 of the same chapter. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. A better word for the word communicate there is share. And I want to say the third sacrifice is the sacrifice of our possessions. We've had the sacrifice of our person, giving up who we are, giving up our body, giving up our mind to Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of our praise to Him. Now the sacrifice of our possessions to the Lord. Everything that we have comes from Him. He gave it to us. We may think, well, we had to work hard with sweat pouring down our brow to get what we have. No, the Lord gave you the ability to do it. He blessed you with what you have. There are a lot of people that are failing in businesses or some other way, and they're working very hard. But they're disobeying the Lord, and He hasn't blessed them. But the Lord has chosen to bless you in a big realm, in a small realm. Some way He's chosen to bless you with some possession. It could be a house. Many, many people throughout the world don't have a home. They do not have a roof over their head. We take it for granted, but they just don't have it. It could be with a vehicle, a car, or a motorbike. A lot of people don't have that. In fact, a lot of people don't even have shoes to walk with. But God has just given to almost every one of us here that blessing. Maybe a boat He's given to some of you. A lot of people have never even seen the water. Don't even know what it looks like. God's not only given you the boat, He's blessed you to be here in this wonderful place whereby you could head out almost any afternoon and go catch a turbot or catch a grunt and eat that for supper. Or have boiled fish the next morning for breakfast. A lot of people don't even know what boiled fish or stewed fish is like. Never tasted fish in their life. But God's blessed us and allowed us to have that. Some of us are able to head over to Florida and to go shopping and buy new clothes or new shoes or something else. The Lord has blessed us with the money to spend in that way. He's given us everything that we have. What are we doing with those possessions as far as using them for Him and sacrificing them to Him? Let's read a parable, Matthew chapter 25. Familiar story. But it's a wonderful story when we come considering our possessions. Known to us as the parable of the talents. Starting in Matthew chapter 25 verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his servants, delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To every man according to his ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went, and traded with the same, and made other 5 talents. Likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. This Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he that received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not spread. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not spread. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him who hath 10 talents. Here we see the parable of the talents. And the Lord distributed some 5, another 1 2, another 1 1. God distributes like that to us. Some of us have 5, some of us have 2, some of us only have 1. But the Lord wants you to use them for him. The first one, he took his 5 talents and he used it the best he possibly knew how. He made another 5. The second one took his 2 and he used it and he was able to make double also. The last one did absolutely nothing with his. He just left it buried in the ground, so scared that something might happen to it, so scared that he might lose it. He didn't want to do anything with it. When it boils down to our possessions, there are a lot of things we can think about and ask ourselves, how are we using them for the Lord? Of course, the first one that runs into everybody's mind is our money. We're not taught enough giving. Giving is a vital part to the running of our local churches. God has blessed you abundantly. How much of it are we giving back to him? How much of it are we letting him use to his purpose? When Sunday morning comes and the offering is passed round, do we throw in $2 or $3? Say, well, I put in something this week. The Lord will be pleased. Maybe when hard times come, maybe someone had some financial problem. Well, I don't know if I can give to the Lord this week. I might not have enough for me. And like the one servant with 1 talent, I might end up losing what I have. I don't want to put it in. God commands us to use the thing we want to hold on dearest to him. And the thing we want to keep to ourselves, he wants that from us. He commands us in his word to bring all of our tithes to his storehouse. His storehouse today is the church. And he commands us to bring our tithes to him. A lot of us think our tithe, well, that's our offering. Our offering is whatever goes past that tithe. The tithe automatically belongs to the Lord. He says that's his. If you don't give it to him, you're stealing from him. What we give past that is our offering. Maybe our offering needs to go to the church itself. Maybe our offering needs to go to someone halfway around the world in Africa who is starving. Maybe we could use our money to give to someone, some little boy or girl who doesn't have a home, doesn't have food, and just $1 or $2 every day would feed them more than they could ever want. It's been said that if we could take from each one of our Christians, take all the little trinkets that we have, I don't know if they mean jewelry or other little things they call pretties or whatever in the house, if we could take them, sell them from every Christian, it would be enough money to lay down ships full of Bibles and full of preachers to go everywhere in the world that needs to hear the gospel. It would be more than enough money to accomplish the goal. But yet, so many times we take it and we just sit it, dig a hole and bury it, and want to keep and hold on to what we have. What about the rest of what God has given to you, your house? Is it open for the Lord? Someone comes in, needs a place to stay. Is your house open to them? Someone needs a meal. Is your kitchen open to them? Maybe there's a need for somewhere to have a prayer meeting. If something's happened to the church, you can't use it. Is your house open to have a prayer meeting there? Maybe the young people want to have a Bible study, want to know more about the Lord's Word. Is your house open for them to have it there? What about your vehicles, your transportation? Are they sacrifices to the Lord? As I said already, is your car used to go and carry people to and from that normally couldn't get around by themselves? Are our possessions being given as a sacrifice to Him? Ask yourself, what else do I have? Everything you have, God has given to you for a purpose. Ask yourself, why did the Lord give me this? How can I use this for Him? You may be saying, He gave me, you know, sit down and say, He gave me so and so. You know, I never thought about it before, but I could use that for this purpose, or for that purpose, or for something else. You stop and think, you know, I don't really need to buy another pair of shoes, or I don't really need to buy another coat, or I don't really need to buy another ring. I think I'm going to send that money to someone who really needs it. There are people who would give anything for a Bible. In fact, the Gideons are doing such a great job in carrying around God's Word. And right now, they can print a Bible for $2. Because how many they get? What does $2 buy you? A large soda? Down to one of the restaurants? For those $2 could buy someone words of salvation. Those $2 could bring someone off the road that leads to destruction and take them on the road that leads to heaven to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. Yet we hold back that $2 sometimes from someone who needs it. And so as priest, as believer priest, we have sacrifices to offer. Number one, sacrifice our person. The way that I always do this is I take and I look at my schedule for the day. And I take and say, Lord, is everything I plan to do today, can it be used for you? Would you put your seal of approval on everything that I do? Would you do it? Or would you turn your head and be ashamed? The sacrifice of praise. How often do we just get on our knees and thank Him and worship Him without bringing any requests, just praising Him? The sacrifices are possessions. When we take and use our possessions for Him, that's when He's going to turn and say, well done, that good and faithful servant. No matter what it is, if it's just something little, if it's just that $2 that you have, the widow's two mites, if you give it to the Lord, He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Or if He's given you charge over something big, and you use that for Him, He's going to say, well done, that good and faithful servant. Hope today, every one of us, myself included, learns to bring our sacrifices to the Lord more often, as He's commanded us to. Shall we close in a word of prayer? Our Father, we thank You for, first of all, the positions that You give us once we come to know You as Savior. We're not only sinners saved by grace, we're Your children, children of the King. We're princes. You've commanded us to be soldiers, to be servants, yet You've also commanded us to be priests. And our job is to sacrifice. Lord, help us to sacrifice every day. Help us not to hold back the sacrifices, not to give them to You, but to totally share all that we have. Father, help us to sacrifice our person more and more. Allow the Holy Spirit to give us strength to do it, because we know we can't do what's right on our own. We need to rely on Him. Help us as we renew our minds daily. And we realize the more we renew our minds, the brighter we become for You. Yes, there's a sacrifice of praise we need to bring. And also the sacrifice of our possessions. Help us to be good stewards over what You have given to us already. We have a lot to be thankful for. And everything we have, you've given to us. You've blessed us with. We ask that you just be with us throughout the remainder of the day as we gather shortly to come and remember you as you commanded us to, in the bread and in the wine. We think of the meeting tonight, especially, Heavenly Father. We pray for those who do not know you as Savior and may be gathered out. Father, we pray that you would speak to them like never before. Your Spirit would strive with them like never before. We know we can't do anything in ourselves. And we're without strength, except we abide in you. But when we abide in you, we can do all things through your strength. Father, we thank you for each one gathered out here. We pray a blessing on each one. We pray that you would encourage those that need that special encouragement. Lord, we think of those who may not be here because they're sick or laid aside. We ask that you would be with them, touch and heal their bodies according to your will. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.